I turned to Bill, who was smiling so broadly I thought his face would split in two. His eyes were damp and shining and about to overflow with tears of holy joy. I grabbed him by the shoulders like a Christian. "Bill," I ejaculated. "The dream!" I was ecstatic. He smiled into my face and said, "Yes, Zodiac, my noble friend, the dream." I span around to Gimpo. He too was beaming like an amphetamine believer. He hugged me to his manly bosom. "Yes, Zed," he laughed, "the dream." Behind the mysteries of our REM slumber, we had all by some fantastic miracle experienced the same revelation. We embraced each other closely and started crying like women. "God bless the fishermen," blubbered Bill. "They truly love us. They love us. They love us. And we, them, everyone. We love everyone." He dried his eyes on a pink silk handkerchief and handed it to me. I wiped my nose and started to tidy the room. Gimpo was arranging flowers and Bill was applying lipstick. We ate our vegetarian sausages, paid for the drinks and happily set off for the pole singing Boy George tunes. The world was beautiful and we loved everyone. I was wearing a bra. When the E wore off, we all felt truly ashamed. The interior of the car hung heavy with a macho silence like the gentle sway of a bull's bollocks in a country meadow. We drove on, the Clint Eastwood atmosphere broken only by the occasional raising of a single buttock to rattle the small space with a manly fart.
So to bed. In our bunks we sing Johnny Cash songs and Zed tells us the edited highlights from the life story of the Love Reaction's faithful roadie, Johnny. Now Johnny is 6'4" and built like a granite wall, and he's a half-caste. His father went AWOL. His mother couldn't cope, so Dr. Bernardes took care of Johnny. Like all kids, he watched kids' TV. He watched Blue Peter. And Johnny got angry. If you're a British listener, you will know what Blue Peter is. If not, all you need to know is that it represents all the values that our royal family once personified. God, country, service, citizenship, thriftiness, and the centrality of the family. In those days, Blue Peter had a regular gardening slot. The Blue Peter garden was in the back lot of the BBC TV centre. Young folk in our green and pleasant land were encouraged to give their dads a hand in their gardens at home. But Johnny didn't have a dad, and Johnny didn't have a garden, and Johnny got angrier. Now one night, Johnny broke into the grounds of BBC TV centre down at Shepherd's Bush. He found the Blue Peter garden and trashed it. He ripped up all the flowers and the shrubs. He smashed the greenhouse. He burnt down the shed. The tabloids made it front page news. The next edition of Blue Peter was a black day, almost as bad as the day Shep died. I don't know if Johnny was caught and brought to justice, but his actions were a pivotal point in the history of children's television in this country. From that time on, in came the mixed race and minority representative presenters, accents from far-flung outposts of our land, who instructed us on what could be made from discarded washing up liquid bottles and sticky-backed plastic. And the royal family lost it completely.